Hey, everybody. It is time for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you're joining us today. If you are hearing this later on, not live on our website, that's great, too. Welcome. And we're glad you are joining us. We have been having a series going on that now we've just kind of switched gears a little bit, Nan, and going into a different aspect. We're going to call this part Flowing in the Spirit. It's going to be a good good radio show today. I started to say service. We just came from the service.
We came from a good service.
We did. Nan is right beside me, Nan Watson, and Betty Thomas from Indiana, part of our radio team, will be joining us in just a little while. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are here to talk about Jesus and the Word of God. And we got some great songs on today's show, and it's just going to be fun. Nan, I love to be in the Word like this, don't you? Don't you enjoy this format, the radio ministry?
Oh, yes. It's like kind of a carryover from the morning service.
Right.
But there's so many different varying aspects of the scriptures used that different types of things come off on the radio show.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just really cool the way that God does that.
Well, it's intentional, and it kind of developed through the years. It's intentional that we kind of carry on that theme from the morning to try to help people learn those concepts, get them down on the inside of them better if they were at the service. If they weren't at the service, then it's new material to those calling in or listening in. So it's kind of a great opportunity, isn't it, to minister on the radio and see what God is doing in people's lives and hear from different ones, and it's fun.
It's fun. I am always privileged to be able to have the opportunity to be on the radio show because we have a good time doing it. The anointing of the Lord is always here, but because we know in the grand scheme of everything that's going on, it ministers to many, many people.
Right.
You know, and you hear back sometimes
from
people who have said, you're my church.
Right.
I don't go anywhere. You're my church.
Right.
You know?
And exactly.
So that's kind of exciting to be part of that.
Well, I think in this day and age, there are more and more people that are so busy lives that they don't go to church, you know. And of course, we want you to come to Beacon if you're in the Tampa Bay area. We welcome you to our services. We're in our new location, and Nan, is it cool or is it just plain cool?
Oh, it's just plain cool, Pastor.
Cedric, can't wait for you to see it. It is really neat what God has done. And it's big. And
yes, it is.
A lot of room. And a lot of room on the platform for a drummer and, a bass guitar player. And
I remember
that.
You said that it's twice the size of the old platform.
Right. Twice the size. Exactly. Because the old platform was exactly one half of our platform. It was such a small building we had before, we couldn't get it all in there. But now it's all spread out. And, it's great. You know, plenty of room. And
well, what's cool about it is we have two main locations. And
right.
One's the sanctuary and one's the Bible study area for Wednesday nights or whatever else might occur.
Fellowship.
It's nice not to have to tear down tables and put up tables. They just stay up and we just rearrange a little bit if we're having a dinner. But, I mean, it's so nice you can just kind of go in there and, and the sanctuary area is kind of sacred kind of place.
Right,
It's like you can really use that more of a sacred type of, that's where we have our morning service, it's kind of set apart and special from where, we have our Bible
study,
which is
that's
pretty
great.
Cool.
Just a lot of room and the Bible study room on Wednesday night. Bible study has become such a great time for people to come and be able to ask questions, explore the Word of God with their Bible sitting right in front of them, a notebook, and really understand what's going on,
A lot of places don't have that type of Bible study. They have more of a lecture type Bible study.
It's not a lecture.
It's interactive, and we can ask questions. And, either you can answer them or Pastor Jim many times can answer them because of his scholarly. The way he's such a scholar amongst us.
And what do you think of my new whiteboard? I mean, is that just crazy big? I mean, Cedric, you're not going to believe this, but somebody in the church, I love teaching on a whiteboard on Wednesday night, like a 4x6 is what we had, at the last place we were. But this is 16 feet long, and we just got it about a week and a half ago, and it is absolutely great. And Wednesday night, I filled it all up. with the word. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know what you used to do before. Write smaller or something.
Well, we used to have an easel. Remember that? Where you just turn the pages, but you couldn't see the train of thought and how it all figured together and what God was trying to teach us. So it's really fun. It's a real teaching format, but it's interactive. So,
I take notes, but there's several of us who like to photograph the board afterwards.
Right.
And then we actually send it to each other if someone happens to miss. We're actually sending them to each other.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great teaching tool. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Bible study, and prayer meeting starts about 6:15. So, we welcome any of you out there. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us. We'd love to meet you and love for you to come and be a part of our family of God. If you don't have a place you're going to right now, if you do have a church you're going to, then we don't try to take people away from that. We are in our new location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, which is really at the corner of Drew and 19. Easy to find. Don't you love that easiness of getting in and out of there now?
Oh, it's easy. And where I reside, it's really close
really
now.
Really close now. It used to be we were down on Almerton for years. And
far away from me.
But for
now
several years.
Closer.
But we're glad. We're glad to be at Drew and 19. It's wonderful. So come and join us. We welcome you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can see the maps. There's plenty of maps and directions if you're coming from this direction or that direction. Because our webmaster, Maxine, is pretty thorough with that kind of stuff on the website, isn't she?
She's very good.
Yeah,
she's very,
very
good. Yes.
So this radio show today is all about flowing in the Spirit of God and what that means. And we're going to start off with a Casting Crowns song called Spirit Wind, which really kind of brings this together for us. Here we go, Spirit Wind by Casting Crowns.
Ezekiel stared down into the valley, filled with dried bones baking in the sun. Remains that used to be a mighty army, to him it looked like the fighting days were done. But driven by your calling on his life, spoke God's words, the bones began to shake. He stared wide-eyed as the flesh began to form. And as it prophesied to the wind, the soldiers began to wake. And the Lord sent his wind into the valley and breathed the breath of life into their souls and raised them again a mighty army. Risen warriors will battle again, but they have been filled with the Spirit. A pastor stands before his congregation, once a mighty army for the Lord. But now he stares into the lifeless eyes, believers leading carnal lives. He wonders what they're fighting for. But driven by your calling on his life, he spoke God's word like he'd done 100 times before. This time he comes broken and weeping, the tears of a broken heart, and he cries out to the Lord. Oh Lord, send your wind into this valley and breathe the breath of life into their souls. Raise them again a mighty army. Soon these arisen warriors will battle again. Have been filled with the Spirit. Oh, yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, Praise God. That is our prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you right now to send fresh wind of your Holy Spirit into the lives of each of us on this show today and all those that are listening now or later on our website. Lord, we ask for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit to absolutely move into our lives in a very profound way and cause us to realize that you love us so very much with an intense love, that you love us and that you have a plan for our lives. Holy Spirit, move in this show today and allow us to see a deeper view of you, a deeper revelation, knowledge of who you are and how much you love us. We thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I wrote down some of those words. Send the wind of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Spirit. Wind, breathe a breath of life into our souls. And I believe there's a lot of people out there today who need a fresh touch from Almighty God. Betty Thomas, are you on the air, my friend?
Yes, Pastor, I am here.
All right. All the way from Renegade Ranch in Indiana, right?
Yes, ma'am, that's me.
Yes, you with your horses. And I tell you, that song always reminds me of you. I think the first time I heard it was, I think, when you and Megan were here last year. That spirit wind, the breath of the Holy Spirit coming in. Oh, isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we need?
Oh, I tell you what, just a faint would be great, wouldn't it?
Just Lord, move on.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
Amen. Time for God to do a new thing, and that's what we're talking about right now, flowing in the Spirit of God. Nan's right here in the studio. Say hi to Betty.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, Nan. I can see you on the video camera. You got hair.
Oh, yeah. Nan's growing her hair. Yeah.
I've got hair.
Last time I saw you, your hair was as short as mine, and now it's getting long. You look good, girl.
Well, thank you. I've kind of grown out of the spike stage for a while.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know how long that'll
be. And Betty, I don't know if you can see, but there's Mary over here in a pink beacon shirt. And Mary is part of us now. And so she's here today. She's not actually here to chat on the radio, but she's here to participate. And unless if you decide you want to say something, you always can, Mary.
Okay.
All right. There you go. You heard her voice. There she is. And then we got Daddy Cedric in the engineering booth, who's now 3 weeks a daddy.
That's
oh,
right.
My. How you doing?
Didn't get as much sleep last night, but it was still precious.
Isn't it? I tell you, it is great. My little great-granddaughters are about 7 weeks old. Yeah, I think that's about right. And they are absolutely, no, they're older than that. They're older than that. Anyway, they were born July 23rd, so that makes them older than that. Almost, yeah, 3 months almost.
I was going to say, you know, they're older than that.
Yeah, they are. They're so cute. I tell you, they change so quick, though, Cedric. Enjoy every moment. And Grandma Betty up there, Mimi, you're really Mimi, right?
I'm Mimi, Mississippi.
Mimi, Mississippi, yes, since she's going to be moving to Mississippi. And little Andrew, he calls you Mimi. And then he's getting a baby brother or sister soon, isn't he? Megan.
Yes, he is. Sometime in
Megan
April
and Ben.
Next year, Megan and Ben. The Lord has blessed them again with, you know, all blessings come from above.
Right.
And so we're either going to have a little Zoe, or she hasn't come up with a boy's name yet. We're talking about Lance. She's talking about Lance or Landon or starts
okay.
with an L. So we're looking forward to it.
All right. That's exciting, I tell you. Well, you know, that excitement that we feel when we have babies coming on or we have things happening in our lives that bring excitement. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to do that kind of a thing in us, Nan, where we are excited about him, where we are saying, God, come and fill me up with you in a new in a new way, in a new measure. Come and let me feel your presence in my life. Nan, that's what's going on, and that's what people need to get on board with, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. You know, that quiet time we spend in prayer.
Right.
We seem to grow so much in him. We learn Ooh. So much in him. We get so much direction from him just by, you know, I mean, we all have busy lives, but we need to dedicatedly take that time to do that. I mean, we take time to do other things. We have right. time out of our day to go to work.
Right.
If we have to stay late, we manage to work that in.
Right.
If we have to do something on the weekend, we manage to work that in. You know, so but more importantly, your jobs are important. You need to be faithful stewards in those positions. But much more is the importance of, you know, spending time with him.
And because he wants to form that relationship with us, you know. And this Flowing in the Spirit, this new series, it's all about developing that relationship with God where you can just say, hey, God, I need to talk to you about this. We're going to talk about prayer today, Betty. We're going to talk about flowing in the Spirit of God and learning to communicate with him in a deeper way. You didn't grow up in church, did you, Betty, or did you? Talk to me about that.
No, ma'am, I did not. I knew about a man named Jesus.
Okay.
And I knew the first prayer I ever heard was a nighttime prayer.
Ah, okay.
That my a neighbor, her name was Mildred Skinner.
Okay.
And she had taught me how to pray.
Okay.
And she always told me that that was our way of direct communication to heaven.
Amen.
And so I never, ever lost that gumption or that umption inside of me that whenever I needed something. Now, this is where I changed a long time, you know, a few years ago. If I ever needed anything, that I could always ask the Lord for it. But then as I became a Christian in 1985, prayer changed my life.
Whoa, yes.
And in a good way. It gave me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it gave me power.
Amen. There you go, right there.
It gave me the opportunity to have direct communication with the Lord himself. And from 1985 on, I mean, I'd say maybe 1987, 88, I was introduced into an intercessory prayer group.
Right.
Where things became a little bit more bold than what I was used to praying. It kind of scared me at first. But then I felt more of a drawing and a yearning to want to talk to God more than I ever had in my entire life.
Right.
And I learned that when I'm on my knees, that I have a protection over me, that fighting, you know, that our war is not against, you know, human flesh or
right.
flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And I tell you what, I got so fired up and so on fire for God that I haven't quit since.
No, you haven't. You're just a little warrior, aren't you? A warrior child.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and of course, none of these shows are ever scripted or planned like that, but that's a perfect segue for us to go to Acts chapter 1. And let's look in about verse 4 or 5 here, where Jesus had presented himself alive after his resurrection, after his crucifixion, then the resurrection 3 days later. And then Jesus walked this earth, and he really talked to his disciples. He revealed himself to different people. And so we start here where it says, and I'm in the Message Bible, after his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days, okay? In face-to-face meetings. I mean, that is wild. And we've got accounts of those meetings in the book of John where Jesus just walks through the wall and says, hey, guys, how you doing? You know, all these face-to-face meetings. Great. And he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. And we know that Paul says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's not about rules. It's not about, oh, you can't eat this or you can't eat that. And Paul says, the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So as you learn to walk in the kingdom of God, you learn to be established in righteousness. And righteousness means right standing with God. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Righteousness simply means I'm in right standing. We stay in right standing by confessing our sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Jesus walked this earth. That was 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. Jesus walked this earth and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He talked to them about righteousness, being in right standing with God. He talked to them about walking and living in peace. And he talked to them about joy. This was his main theme. Okay. As they met and ate meals together, he told them they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but they were to wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and soon. And then they say, but Master, we thought this was going to be like an earthly kingdom, you know, that you were going to set up a political kingdom. And he says in verse 7, you don't get to know the time, because they said, when's this going to happen? He said, timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. That's the gift. That's the promise, the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able. I love this verse. It's Acts 1:8. You have your King James right there, Nan. Read that in your King James, Nan.
If you receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth.
Okay. In the Message Bible, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. And the power there is the Greek word dunamis. And it's like a keg of dynamite. That's what it means. When you allow the Holy Spirit to come all over you, like that song we just played, and you say, God, fill me up with you. What you get, Jesus said, is a dynamite keg on the inside of you. And suddenly you have power to talk to people and power to say, hey, you know, yeah, I know you're going through a hard time. Do you want me to pray for you? Or, you know, that kind of stuff you do all the time, Nan, in your job. When people come to you and they're just hurting and you say, do you want me to pray for you? And sometimes they just come up to your desk. You shut your office door for a moment, take your break, and start praying over them, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Because you have the power to do that, right?
Yes.
And you don't sit there and worry about what you're going to say in that prayer time, right?
Oh, no, not at all. The Lord leads you because of the Holy Spirit within.
Aha. There you go.
There you go. Leads you in direction of praying.
Yes.
And I know there's been some times, not necessarily at the office, but just there's been some times that, one lady in particular I felt I was supposed to pray for, it was not in the office setting, and that just came to memory about this, and I prayed with her.
Okay.
And we got through praying. She's like, that was exactly the prayer that I needed, and you don't even know what's going on.
There
so
you go.
That's the Holy
there
Spirit
you go.
Moving.
Bang. That's
you know,
it right there.
He is doing
yes.
the praying almost
yes.
through you to that person as you just be yielded to him.
But that's the key right there, being yielded mm-hmm. to him. Betty, you got to get in on this comment, don't you think?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes. And, you know, the cool thing about Nan is that she has the ability and there is no timidity when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Woo. Yeah.
You take.
You're that way too, Betty.
You are.
Yeah, I am. I don't usually like to talk about myself very much.
All right, we'll talk about you then, behind your back.
You can talk about me, but don't do it behind my back, because my discerner will come on, then I'll have to call you.
Okay.
But, you know, that is the neat part about the Holy Spirit, is that his timing is impeccable.
Amen.
I mean, he shows up when we need him. He shows up even before preparing the way
yes.
for us to be
yes.
able to witness and to pray for people.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the disciples, you got to picture this, that here's Jesus been walking through walls and doing all kinds of things and having meetings and prayer meetings and everything with them for 40 days. And then they go out to this little hill and he goes, by the way, I'm getting ready to leave today. And he was going on a fast train to heaven as he ascended right after he made this statement. But his last thing he's saying to them is, don't worry about anything because you will be baptized, which means, you know, immersed. I mean, just come all over you with God himself and you will have the power. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. And when we talk about flowing in the Spirit of God, I mean, I know a lot of people who don't understand the things of the Holy Spirit, yet God still flows through them. Some of you may be saying that right now, and that's true. But I'll tell you, you get more power, more wisdom, more boldness, all of that when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, it's like I remember trying to tell children what the baptism was like.
Yeah.
And it's like being in a rain shower.
Okay.
Is that you feel this freshness about it. You don't worry about that you're getting doused with water. It's just, it's like a cleansing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your battery becomes charged. Your battery's been dead for years. And all of a sudden, your battery's charged for the first time in so many years that you feel energized. You
right.
feel refreshed. It's that living spirit that comes to say, hey, I am with you and I am with you always, and it gives you security. Now, on my end, it gives me security to know that the Holy Spirit walks with me and talks with me, and it's just so, in fact, Pastor, it can be so awesome at times that it brings you to tears.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
the Spirit moves
yes.
in a special
yes.
way, like in one of your services.
Yes. Yes.
It's you can't stand under the power because it is just so awesome.
Well, you're just feeling God. I love the analogy you just used about the battery because a couple weeks ago, it was the weekend of our anniversary. And on Friday night, I was showing a bunch of homes because I'm a realtor also besides a pastor. And I was in Tampa showing homes. And the first house I went to show, when I turned off the car to go out and show the house and come back, the car would barely turn on. I mean, it just was going, you know, one of those. And you're going, oh, no. And Friday night, there was no way I'm going to have any time to do anything about all that right then, you know. And so for the next five houses that I showed that evening, I kept the car running in the driveway of every place I went or in the street. And then I'd put some kid out by the street and say, watch my car. Because I couldn't turn it off because I was afraid that it would not start again, right? Okay. So you got to have that power. You got to have that battery. And that's what the Holy Spirit, it's like a dynamite keg in you. And so good that it doesn't just happen at certain times. Once you ask the Holy Spirit to come fill you up, Nan, talk to me about this. It's not something that just leaves you. I mean, you got it there. You'd have to tap into that. Like I had to leave the car running, you know, to keep that power mm-hmm. going, you know?
Sometimes people seem to try to make this so complex.
Oh, I know.
And it's really not that
it's
complex.
Not at all. You know, break it down for us, Nan.
Me?
Yeah, break it down.
Well, you know, we become saved.
Yes.
And we're child of God.
And we become saved by confessing that Jesus Christ is
right.
Son of God.
And ask his forgiveness. And
ask him to come into our heart.
Christian. It goes along with the analogies you have used in some of your preaching, 30, 60, and
yeah.
100%.
Right.
So, you know, you can beep up along and you're saved, and that's okay. You're going to heaven. It's fine.
Right.
But if you want a greater power, if you want greater power in your prayers.
Yes.
If you want greater power in your life.
Right.
Holy Spirit is really that next step that Ooh. You need to receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then God can use you in even mightier ways than if you don't have that filling of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going
right.
to make you say, yeah, I want that power keg. I want that dynamo, you know? You know, it's something we voluntarily, I had to actually go take the car in then and get a new battery, you know, because it was that point. So it was my choice to go in and get a new battery, or I could just let the thing run down and be, talk to us, Betty, talk to us about this dynamo keg on the inside of us. Too
well,
cool.
You know what? You can almost say you could get a boom out of it because It changes you from the inside out.
From the inside out. And that's Luke 3, 16 and 17 that we taught on last Sunday and also Wednesday night. Put that in your notes if any of you are taking notes. Luke 3, 16 and 17. Because Jesus, John the Baptist said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he's going to change you from the inside out. And we talked about that at length this past Wednesday night of Bible study. But go ahead. Go ahead, Betty.
Well, and when it does, I think y'all talked about it last week about the cleaning of house.
Woo, yeah.
Is that it takes out all the cleans out all the nooks and crannies where all the cobwebs are. And you want once you've received the Holy Spirit, you almost have a generator that lives within you because
you
it
do.
Generates such holy boldness. And when I say holy boldness, it means the ability to present yourself in such a manner that people can actually see Christ in you by the way you talk, how you walk, what you do during the week. So we as believers of Christ need to watch how we act because people could look at you, Pastor, and look at you, Nan, and say, there is something different about you. And what is it? You know, and
right.
What that does is it opens the opportunity. The Holy Spirit has just opened a door for you to go through.
Oh, yeah.
To say, hey, here's a golden opportunity. Step through that door and watch what I'll do. And that's what the cool part about being clean from the inside out is that you can get all that, the past can be gone.
Right.
All of the old stuff is washed away.
Amen.
And it's just what we talked about a few minutes ago. It's an empowerment.
Oh, yes.
Of his graciousness, of his grace and his mercy just eludes from us. And that's the way we should be 365 days a year.
Well, I know. But, you know, this, I'm so glad you brought that up because today at service, I started this series on flowing in spirit and the sermon went a little different than what I expected. And by the end of it, we were talking about praying for each other and really declaring, because we went to Matthew 21, where we're going to go in a little while, and how important it is what comes out of our mouth, okay? And Nan was paying attention, taking notes in church, Betty, like she always does. She was being a good girl. She wasn't texting or, calling her friends or playing a game on her computer or anything like that. She was paying attention. She was writing notes and all of that. And just being Nan, okay?
That's
well,
cool.
At the end of the service, instead of doing what we normally do where people come up for prayer, I just said, you know what? We're just going to start whoever has a need. And people started, there were different things we started praying for each other. Well, different ones either volunteered or, of course, were strongly coached on by me to go pray for somebody, okay? And this began. And all of a sudden, Nan is praying. And all of a sudden, she's crying as she's praying. So talk to us about that. That's my introduction, your introduction, Nan, to say what happened to you. You started out just praying a nice little prayer that we would have all, and then suddenly you are crying. And what are you feeling? And what happened to you? And what took place as you prayed?
Well, I hadn't really thought about that. It kind of caught me off guard here, Pastor. I could really feel the power.
Uh-huh.
And
the power, the dynamite, the dunamis?
Dynamite, dunamis,
okay, there
power,
you go. Right.
And in praying for him, the only thing I can say, I felt a special closeness to God, mm-hmm. to the Holy Spirit is one way to say
just
that.
It just came
all over me. And, you know, still praying and the Holy Spirit leading in how to pray for him, but it's not, I don't know if the right word would be overwhelming. It wasn't scary. It wasn't rough. It was just, I just started crying while I was praying.
But you didn't plan any of this.
Oh, no,
you
not
had
at all.
No
any
clue.
Of that. No.
And then you said, oh, Pastor, we're supposed to pray for you, meaning me. And it was quite a prayer, wasn't it, Mary?
It was.
It was wild. It was really good. It was intense. And Betty, you would have been proud of our little Nan. She just was like out there in the spirit and just praying strongly and boldly and declaring.
Well, and I think that's a very vivid example of, you know, I mean, you know, when we were sitting declaring, praying over people, you know, you did ask me to go pray for one of the ladies in the congregation, and I did that. And
yeah.
And a boldness came on then, too, you know?
Yeah.
Just a boldness came on that, you know, I wasn't even hardly, I really wasn't devising or figuring out what to pray. The Holy Spirit was leading me.
And there you go. That's exactly
and
right.
There was a very authoritative way that came over, naming very specifically things to be done for the people or things that they need or that type of thing. And that was, it was just a real boldness that came on, and that was the Spirit of the Lord. That was not Nan at all.
Specific prayer with authority. Hey, BT up in Indiana, talk about this. Woo, she's right on.
She is dead. I mean, she's on dead center.
Yeah,
and,
she is.
You know, this is what is going to change people.
Yes.
Is that when you listen to the Holy Spirit, He's going to take you to places that you've never been before.
Uh-huh.
And I think for Nanners that she is stepping, she's decided to step out of her comfort zone. She has decided to step into the world of, oh my goodness, what am I doing out here? Kind of like Peter was when he stepped outside the boat. He's like, oh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? But she had the trust.
Right.
She had the faith to believe that the Holy Spirit, because when you're called upon to pray and you're not really expecting it and you're not expected to be called out of a congregation, say, hey, Nan, why don't you go pray for go pray for Mary or go pray for Pastor. It sets up the ultimate connection with the Lord through
it
the
does.
Power of the Holy Spirit. And there is no short-circuiting in when the Holy Spirit works, because it's a direct connection. It's a direct feed to heaven itself, so that when there's a return given, it's what Nan had when she knew that the Holy Spirit was there, because she started to feel His presence. She felt inside of her, and that's where it comes from, the inside out.
It sure does.
Is it was an outward pouring of emotion because she was so overcome by the Spirit of the Lord, is that that's when it's almost like an intense surge of power that comes upon you.
Dunamis.
That dunamis power, that boom, that just hits, and then you just, I mean, you kick into high gear. I mean, you're like in four-wheel low, and you're kicking in, you're digging in the mud. This is a very strange illustration.
Well, you're a farmer. We get it. You're a rancher.
You get it. Yeah. It's like you're four-wheel drive. You dig in, and you're going down deep, and you're bringing out the good in people, and you're showing people just how wonderful it is to be fulfilled.
And, you know, Betty, people have a choice right then. Nan could have looked at me. I've had people, when I've asked them to pray, saying, nah, I don't want to. But Nan could have done that. But she said, sure, I will. And it's a step of faith. You're just stepping out in faith, and you're opening your mouth and letting God fill it. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. Well, you did that to me back when we first started going to church.
Betty. Seriously, that was clear back in the late 80s.
I have a story that is the truth, so help me God.
And for you listeners, Betty and her daughter Megan and sometimes her husband Joe were a part of my church I pastored for 7 years in Indiana, and that's how I know Betty. Go ahead.
And there was, and you looked, I mean, you looked straight at me, and I tried to ignore you. I tried to look down. I looked in my Bible. I was just looking any other place but your eyes, and you pointed at me, and you go,
surely not.
Go pray for, and I don't even remember the gentleman's name. I went over, got up out of my seat, and I mean, I was shaking in my boots. And I went over and prayed for him, and he fell on the floor.
Yeah, I remember.
And I thought, oh, Lord, and I start crying. I said, oh, my God, I've killed him. I have literally killed somebody. And it's like...
Right here at church. Get the CPR.
Here I am, the minister of children, and I just killed an adult when I put my hands on him. But it scared me to the point of the Lord held me back and said, watch me work. And that man was delivered of drugs.
Yeah.
And other things that I won't bring up, but he was delivered at that point in time. And
right.
after the service, he came up to me and he said, I don't know what came over me, but he said, I'm different.
Right.
I feel different. Now, what happened after that is his choice, but the Holy Spirit,
yes.
that Kairos moment,
right.
cleaned him. He touched him, and it's just like that song. He touched me.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, he touched
yes.
me. Yes. He touched him, and that's where I became a lot more bold when it came to having the pastor ask you to go out and pray for someone. It's like I didn't hesitate.
Right.
Because I followed the direction of the Holy Spirit. It
Praise
was you,
God.
You know, the Holy Spirit directed through you, not you, but the Holy Spirit that directed you to say, hey, give Betty an opportunity.
Well, that's what it is, Betty. And I thank you for sharing that because, you know, I end up praying for everybody, it seems like, you know. And what was going on today, Mary, you noticed it. It was the people were involved, and I never laid hands on anybody today and prayed for them. It was all of you were busy doing this. And I prayed for Angel before the service because she had a migraine, and she was sitting at the kitchen table in such pain that she was holding her head. And we went over, and we just started, I laid hands on her, and she just put her head down on me, and we just prayed over her, and then it was gone right away in the service,
Praise
and
God.
She brightened up and started praising God, and it
Praise
was gone.
God.
And but, you know, Betty, that's what it's about, because a lot of times the pastors have to kind of push the little babies out of the nest, so to speak. You know what I mean?
We have to learn to fly.
Gotta learn to fly.
And we learned to fly because we got coerced. That's not the word. But we got invited.
Right, invited.
Because that's what he does, is he invites us, not pushes us or whatever. He invites us to come into the next area of our lives. And it's so amazing to watch what
Ooh.
Will happen and what he will do when he gives us that opportunity. And I never want to miss another opportunity
oh my.
To minister, because it's so rewarding. It's so refreshing. It so enlightens me to the point where you can just sit back and watch him work. And it's so, I mean, it's just like, it's like a mist that comes in, and it goes from one corner to the other. And I've seen it in your services where it'll start at one end of the service and go all the way across, and everybody's just out. I mean, this happened in Indiana. I have not been able to see a lot of your services since we are so far apart. But the Holy Spirit will move when he is invited.
Right.
When there is no inhibitions.
Right.
When there is no roadblocks.
Right.
Because he won't come where he's not wanted.
Whoa.
And that's where we as Christians have got to get our acts together.
Okay. Stop right there, because we're going to do this song, because you just gave us the perfect segue.
Oh,
this song is If My People Pray by Avalon.
Oh, yeah.
And it is your theme verse for 10,000 Prayers Strong.
Amen. Amen.
And if my people humble themselves, it says. I taught on this verse this morning in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves, that means be teachable. And that's what we're talking about. Listen to the song, and then we're going to talk about it on the other side.
reach for me with hearts that are broken. I will not forget what I've spoken. Come and seek my face, and heaven will rain. Rivers of my grace overflowing. Night and day my ears will be open. If my
like that song, If My People Pray. Nan's got a poem that God just gave her just now. Poem, P-O-Y-M, poem.
P-O-Y-M, poem.
Go ahead.
It's three verses. The one is a very generic one. The last two verses seem to be maybe specific for certain people. And
okay.
They will know whoever they are when they hear it. If my people will pray, many things will be done. It will all be made possible through the sacrifice of my son. Pray, pray, pray. Wait on me. I will move in your situation. You will know the direction to take, and you will have my protection. Go forth in my power. Pray. It will be okay. I am with you in this. You'll see that I've made the way. Pray, 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 pray.
Oh, that is great. Wow. And if somebody out there wants a copy of that, I'll have Nan send me a copy of it by email, and we can email it to you. You can always reach me and us right now during the show, pastor@bohmglobal.com. You can send your comments or a question if you have any right now during the show, or you can write me at that address at any time, pastor@bohmglobal.com. If my people pray, and there we go. Flowing in the Spirit of God has everything to do with prayer, Betty, does it not?
Everything.
Everything.
Everything. I mean, from the top to the bottom, from the left to the right, that the thing that will change us, will provide us with the peace, the comfort, and the security that we need will happen when we're on our knees.
When we're on our knees. Absolutely. And I just love that verse. And, you know, if it were a different method that God wanted to use, he would have employed that method. But he has, when he walked this earth, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. He said, pray. Remember the disciples said, teach us to pray. And then he started teaching them you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to begin to come into agreement with God's will for us, what heaven wants done in our lives. We've got to learn to put away our inhibitions, Nan, and to let God just speak through us and pray. And when we start a prayer, it's not, we don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know what to say, but God leads. It's just a faith step, isn't it?
Most definitely. Well, you know, I mean, this morning would be a case in point,
right,
for myself. You know, God'll let you know when to do whatever.
Right.
Because earlier, as you were starting to have different people declare over each other, it was like, you guys got to declare over pastor. But it wasn't that right moment.
Right.
And it was like God opened the right moment when you were having us all gathered together in a circle after, you know, after all this declaration had gone on. And it was like, that is now the time.
Right.
You know, and a step forward, yes, in faith, because, you know, some Satan would want to try. He didn't do this with me, okay, just because of where I was or am with the Lord. But, I mean, some people would feel they need to do something like that, but they're very timid.
And they don't want to.
They don't want to, but just trust God that if they know they've heard from God, move forward in faith. And, you know, and that's walking in the presence of the Lord, and that's him leading you and guiding you in what you need to do. And he can use you in such mighty ways, you know, when you step out like that. I mean,
absolutely.
It's like, it's really a humbling experience to think.
Humbling. There's that word again, which means to be teachable, right?
It's such a humbling thing to move forward and to see that God used you.
Right.
In just a little way here, but in a big way, you know, of the prayer. I mean, that is a very humbling experience that, you know, for me.
You learned from it.
I learned from it.
Because you allowed yourself to be teachable.
Right.
And you stepped out in faith. Betty talked to us about this. This is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, it's awesome. You know, I see so much in the world today that if people would just stop and take just a few minutes out of their busy schedule and ask God to help them with whatever is troubling them while they're driving, while they're watching, whether they're playing on their computer or even in their little cubicle or their offices, they would just take the time to talk to their Heavenly Father. He's waiting because he wants to talk to us.
Amen.
And the sad thing is that we walk on by him.
You're right.
We don't take the time to communicate with him.
Right.
We can call and talk to a friend and talk for hours. But how long did we talk to the Lord today?
Amen.
And how much he misses talking to us. And even if the littlest thing or the biggest thing is something's troubling you, just take a few minutes just to ask God, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? Or if you're in church and just like with Nan, the Lord will prompt you in such a special way that it's almost like, you know, I want to make you an offer you cannot refuse because it's so gentle. It's so, for lack of a better word, it's almost like being in a slight vacuum where people are pulled, you know, like Nan being pulled to you or Nan being pulled to someone or myself being pulled to say to someone, can I pray for you?
Right.
And it gives you a feeling of accomplishment in the spirit realm because you're able to help someone.
Oh, amen.
I mean, it's like being able to help someone across the street, an older person across the street or whatever. I mean, it just gives you that feeling of, wow, that was awesome. And that's the only word I can come up with right now is awesome because I have a limited vocabulary living in a rural area. But it's just
she does.
No,
it's
you don't.
So awesome to be able to feel that pulling. That I call it the anointing. You feel
oh,
that anointing
absolutely.
Come on you
yes.
and say, Betty, you know, go pray for Ben or go pray for Andrew. I don't refuse anymore.
Oh, amen.
I go when I'm, you know, it's just like when the stoplight's green, I go.
You go. And there you go. Okay. All right. Nan wants to comment on that.
Well, I wanted to say something kind of along that lines. You know, if people feel, and I just feel I should say this, okay, that someone encounters this, if they really feel like God leads them to ask someone, may I pray with you? It's interesting. I've said that to people. A friend of mine and I were at a estate sale the other day, and his lady's getting ready to go off be a missionary. And as we start leaving, it's like, can we pray with you? And we pray with her in the front yard.
Wow.
Well, there may be times that you feel led to pray for someone. You ask them and they say no.
No, right.
Don't let Satan try to use that to mess you up, because you know you heard from God. That person is choosing to refuse that, but it doesn't make you wrong for asking that. And I just thought I should say that, because there may be people who feel empowered in the Holy Spirit after this radio show, that they start leading to the Lord and saying, open up doors where I can be used to reach out to other people. And then as they, you know, see someone in need and they feel they're supposed to pray with them, and they offer and the person refuses, that's on them.
Right.
You know you've heard from God, so just continue to move forward. Don't let Satan try to beat you up with that.
And it's interesting how God will put situations in your path. You don't have to go looking for them, because, Nan, you and I were on the phone, and I was talking to you, and in my car I can talk without holding the phone, which is a wonderful invention, and I love it. And I know where I was. I was on CR1. It was about a year ago. You know what I'm about
yes,
to say,
I
right?
Do.
Nan and I are in a very important, deep discussion about something, and I go, ah! And I scream, and she goes, what? And I said, wait. And a guy had walked out in front of me, in front of my car. He toppled. He was like, and he was like barely able to walk. And then he had fallen right in front of my car on CR1. And I was able to stop. And then now I'm out in the street, and I've still got Nan on the speakerphone, and she's hearing all this and not have any idea what's going on. And I'm yelling and screaming out there, and Nan's like yelling at me, Pastor, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. I'm yelling at my car. But this guy is like, he's all bloody now. He's fallen in the street. He had a stroke and was trying to cross the street to get some help. And I just happened to be the car, okay, that was the one that would have hit him. And all of a sudden, all this traffic, everybody stopped right there. And now everybody's jumping out of their cars and everybody's rushing to help. But interesting. God has a way of getting our attention. And I mean, he was led to safety and everything was fine. I got back in the car after 5 minutes of craziness, and Nan's going, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, yeah. And she said, I heard all of that going on. It was kind of funny. But I mean, that's kind of an over the top example of how God can get your attention and use you, you know, in a situation. Because really, as cars started stopping, men started jumping out of their cars and started lifting this guy instead of me calling 911 and all that. But
that was, I'd never experienced that one before. And I was concerned about you because, you know, at first it was just a lot of
screaming
going on out there. You know, it's like, I started praying, God help my pastor, whoever's messing with my pastor, help my pastor. You know,
that was fine. Yeah. I was just ministering. Woo! Betty, comment on that, because we gotta get ready for station ID in a minute. But
only the Lord would use you in that circumstance.
It was wild. It was crazy.
That was wild. But you know, in today's society, not too many people would have stopped.
Oh well, if I had not have stopped, I would have hit the man.
he would have bit. But you know what I'm saying? You were the good Samaritan.
Ooh, yeah, I had to be. I was forced into it, but
and you were kind of put on the spot.
Kind of, yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about the Holy Spirit leading as we go into this next hour. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10:30 at our new location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19. North. It's basically at the corner of Drew and 19, and most people know where that is because that's the famous intersection that has Best Buy.
Yeah.
Right?
And Canes.
And Canes. Yeah. That's right.
I Google Earthed it.
And
I was like,
oh,
it's right there.
It's right there. It's right behind the Toyota dealership.
Yep.
And me now having two great grandbabies, it's right beside Babies R Us also.
Ooh.
So it's all right there. Just go on that access road and go behind the dealership, and we're right there.
And just up the street from the station.
Right. It's just very close to here, to our radio station. So station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life, our second hour. Every Sunday we are live on this radio station from 3 to 5, and we are also on the internet. And if you're listening on the radio and want to switch over to the internet, you can do that, www.tantalk1340.com. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries. We have just celebrated our 12th year. Wow, wow, wow. And so I guess we're starting into our 13th year of ministry in the Tampa Bay area and worldwide. And we are so excited about our website, and it's been revamped in February. And Maxine, our webmaster, was here over the anniversary weekend. And we have hundreds of radio shows on our website. It's a great teaching tool. Betty, do you ever go and listen to any of the shows?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I tell you, it is just like a library of peace and tranquility, because all of those shows that you have on there are titled. So if
right.
you're dealing with a particular issue in your life, you can go through that library and look through and see if one of those titles might match up to what you might be needing at that point in time.
Exactly.
And it's just, you know, just not for today, but maybe it might be 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 2 years down the road. And there are enough on there, I think, from the beginning of your
radio ministry is 7 years.
Until today, that your radio programs are on there, and they are a blessing. You can use them any time of day, 365 days a year.
And you can tell friends and people and acquaint them with the ministry at Beacon of Hope. You know, the other thing we talked about this morning a little bit, I don't know, or maybe that was at lunch, I don't remember. We were talking about the need to have more financial partners for the work of the radio ministry outreach, which is now in our 7th year on this radio station. And it's amazing. God has provided every single week for the bill, for the radio bill. We pay before we play. We pay before we get on the air, you know? And so we welcome you to become a financial partner with us. Just go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can give a donation on PayPal, and it's a blessing. If this is your church, your ministry, then you know what? Give tithes, give offerings, whatever. And God just always blesses our giving. He always does. Betty from Indiana, part of our radio team, your daughter Megan. Betty's on the show with me today, along with Nan, right here in our ministry. And we're excited about this show. And if you missed the first half of it, by tomorrow, it'll be on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and you can catch up. Listen to this song, and then, Betty, we're going to talk about it on the other side by Casting Crowns, Face Down.
Try to find a new way to tell you, some way to show you what you mean to me. There's nothing new. I exhaust myself searching. The world just keeps turning. What else can I do? 'Cause I find myself empty and faint.
love that song, Face Down Before Almighty God. Woo! Acts 1:14. Jesus went ahead and ascended up into heaven, and the disciples stood around and watched what had happened. And I mean, it was like, and well, actually, let's start verse 9 of Acts 1. These were the last words of Jesus, where he said, "Wait for the power, the dunamis, the dynamite keg." The Greek word is dunamis, and it means power. It means dynamite. So Jesus said, "Wait for that." As they watched, he was taken up and disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky. Suddenly, and I love this word suddenly, and it happens all the time, and it's been happening so much in our ministry lately. Suddenly, all of a sudden, there's a shift. And suddenly, two men appeared in white robes. They said, "You Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at the empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left." Now, they start praying together, and that's what we're talking about on this show. How do you flow in the Holy Spirit of God? You got to start praying, and you got to make prayer a priority. Prayer a priority. Look at Acts 1:14. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. The women included, also Jesus' mother Mary and his brothers. They were committed to this time of prayer. And we know from the scripture that for the next 10 days, they basically prayed. I mean, I'm sure they went to their homes, took a nap, and all that kind of stuff. But basically, Nan, they were in prayer, which brings us to Acts 2:1. So when the Feast of Pentecost, 10 days later, came, they were all together, there they are again, in one place. What were they doing? They were praying. They were, because Jesus has said, wait till the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind. Oh, we played that first song earlier, Spirit Wind, you know? There was a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wild fire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And we know, if we go down to the end of verse 11, they were speaking in all these different languages. And what were they talking about? They were telling about God's mighty works. And that was the prayer language that descended on them that we'll teach more about next week. Betty talked to me about all this. It took waiting. And I imagine it took patience on their part, don't you think? To sit there and wait, not knowing when the Holy Spirit was going to fall on them. Didn't want to miss it. So I imagine they kind of pretty much stayed in a matter of prayer for 10 full days. A lot of time right there.
Yes, there was. And I think they had to, having the presence of Almighty God in formation is, and then watch him ascend into heaven.
Right.
They're like, okay, where's he going? Now what are we going to do?
Now what's going to happen?
Now what's going to happen? Now, they could have been in discord. They could have been gnawing at each other's back right and left.
Fighting each other. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mad.
Yeah, like, hey, oh, God, what are you doing that for?
Right.
But I think what transcended there was it's called unity.
It is called unity.
One accord. We're talking, they became one with the Lord. They were patiently waiting for what God had promised them. What they did was that when they united themselves in prayer, they told the Lord, "Lord, we are here, we are waiting, we are clean, we want you to fill us like you promised." And you know what he did? He did exactly what he promised. But again, when we go back to that unity and one accord, is that when they began to speak, they began to speak in unknown languages.
Yes, they did.
But the people that were in the town or in that particular area of the country, some of them were from different nationalities, different parts of the country, whatever.
Right.
But but they knew what they were saying because they were speaking in their native language.
Right.
And what it did, that again, it brought unity and peace.
Yes.
Within that body or within that group of people that they had never seen anything like that before. And
You
read on, it's like, yeah, that wasn't what it was. They were drunk, you know, all that. And it's like, Peter spoke up and said, no, they weren't, you know. And that's where that...
It was 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, he's like, what's up, Doc? You know, listen to me. This is what the Lord promised. This is what Jesus gave us. He ascended, but he gave us what he promised.
Amen.
The power of his Holy Spirit. So I think that at that point in time, that waiting, that they may have been a little anxious, but Pastor, that group of people were so united,
oh boy,
together, that they were with cords that cannot be broken.
Cords that cannot be broken. Oh my. Woo! Nan wants to comment on that, Betty.
Well, I want to say, along with what Betty was saying there about the unity, you know, I'm 52. So
oh,
tell my,
my
age.
You are old.
I'm old.
Get you a walker, Nan. Get you a walker.
I know. I've got it ordered. It should be delivered Wednesday.
Betty and I would like to have seen. We would like to see 52 right now, I guess. But anyway.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
In that time, you know, I've attended, you know, several churches. You know,
sure.
And I can honestly say of all the churches that I've been in, and a couple of them I was in leadership, so I got to see a lot of stuff going on. Beacon has unity.
Right.
That I've seen churches not have that.
Right.
And I think God is honoring that unity that we have. I mean, several of these I've gone out socially with, gone out to dinner or,
sure,
or an activity or something with, and spent time with them outside of church, too.
Like you just had lunch with me.
I just had lunch with you and
yes,
a couple of ladies from the church.
Right.
Yeah, just kind of spent a little time there, and we talked about the Lord a good bit.
We
at
did.
That lunch.
Most it was, of it, that's it what it was.
It really was. But the unity is important, and,
right,
and Beacon has that unity. And I would encourage anybody, if they're within the listening area and don't have a church they attend, swing on by and check out Beacon. You will sense the unity and the love that,
amen,
people have for each other. And it's pretty powerful because of that unity. Like Betty was saying, we've seen a lot of things happen. I mean, well, case in point, you pray over Angel this morning, migraine type of headache, and it went away.
It was gone.
It was gone.
And
you
could see it in her eyes when we,
right,
walked up to her. Her eyes were very dull. She was looking down. She was sad. She felt terrible. She was sick. And then just as I started praying or preaching, I realized, oh, look at her. She's fine now,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
Just wow. Oh, my. But you're right. It takes unity. And these first 120 people, oh, I never got to that today. I mentioned it in Second Chronicles that there were 120 priests, but never,
right,
got to this 120.
Uh-oh.
So these are the 120 in the New Testament that were gathered together and praying in unity. Unity. Betty talked to us about that. That is, Nan's right on with that. That's what it takes to see miracles, signs and wonders, and see people just lives changed. It takes unity.
Oh, most definitely. And I mean, just since you and I have, and we've gotten back in touch with each other.
Right.
I've seen growth within your church.
Right.
And it takes, I mean, we all have some cliffs that we have to climb. There, you know, the enemy does not want to see us prosper.
Right.
He does not want to see the church advance. He does not want to see the Holy Spirit move in a congregation. But when the pastor gets down on her knees and prays and asks, and the church body unites as one and asks for the Holy Spirit to come, you're welcome here. Minister to us, come, bless us, be here with us. You know what? He's going to show up.
Amen.
And he's going to bless the socks off of people. He's going to heal people.
Yes.
And we're going to start to see miracle signs,
yes,
and wonders in the,
yes,
next few weeks.
Right.
And I explained to you maybe a few weeks ago that revival is going to start with us.
Ooh, amen.
It's going to spread across this country. It's going to, you know, when people get down on their knees and pray, that the Lord is going to heal our land.
Amen.
He's going to make us healthy again. He's going to make the blind to see. He's going to make the lame to walk. people who are sick are going to pick up their mats and walk. And this is what we as Christians have been longing for.
Yes.
We have been so excited about the coming and the spreading of the Holy Spirit throughout the country. And to see your church blossom like it has, that you've come together, you've joined hands, and you have defeated the enemy because he is under your feet.
Amen.
And you are growing, and you are going to grow more. You've stepped out of your comfort zone. The people in your congregation have stepped outside.
Yeah.
They have stepped over the line and said, okay, we're here. We're going to be behind you. The Holy Spirit is going to move, and I mean he is going to move, like you said, suddenly.
Suddenly.
Suddenly. Suddenly and subtly, and I can't contain myself when I start talking about it.
Well, it's a matter of getting on board with what the Holy Spirit is going to do and being yielded and humbled to the point of saying, okay, God, I'll allow you to use me like you did today, Nan. Betty and Nan, like both of you are doing right now. We don't have a script for this show. I have a whole stack of scriptures, and I never know where it's going to go because it's totally letting the Holy Spirit lead. And when we do that, and we are that yielded, I guess is the right word, to what God wants done on this show, in a service, whatever. I had no idea the service was going to end the way it did today, Nan. That was not, I had no clue that it was going that direction.
In 3.5 years of attending there, it's never done that. It's never done that.
So everybody was suddenly praying for each other and ministering to each other. And it was like, I felt like an orchestra conductor. You know, up there kind of going, okay, now the cellos, you know, now the flutes, okay, over here are the saxophones, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? And yeah, all of it blending beautifully. Mm-hmm. Nan, would you go pray for so-and-so? So-and-so, would you get up out of your chair and go, you know, it's that conductor. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He knows how to blend a service. He knows how to blend our lives on a daily basis. Nan, talk to me about this.
Well, one, my thoughts just went. I'm just going to share very honestly here. You called a few out to go pray. After that, you would feel that someone needed to be prayed for. You would ask who would like to go pray with that person.
Right.
So I don't want people to think they're going to come to Beacon and you
right.
do
Good
you,
point. No.
You knew who to call on.
Right.
You basically called on the leaders
and
of
And for
your
some
church,
that I felt know? That they would not want to do that, they weren't called on.
They weren't
but
called
but
on
that
at
invitation
all.
Was given. If you feel
yes.
the Lord leading you
exactly
to go, then get up and go. Right?
Right, exactly. I just want to put that
yeah,
in.
Yeah, because we don't want people being afraid to come to Beacon because, like you said, that's the first time that type of thing has happened. But it was powerful because it was powerful. Body ministry. It was unity. Betty, talk to us.
I see, as you guys were talking, is that I saw order.
It was very ordered. It was not anything chaotic in any way. Not at all.
No, and that's when you know that the Holy Spirit is working because he has a definite plan.
It was his plan.
He doesn't come in, you know, all anxious and you know, ready to do this, ready to do that. He knew, and you followed his direction in saying, okay, now, Nan is totally sold out. She has surrendered her life to Christ and wants nothing more. Pastor Marcia McAllister has surrendered and asked for nothing more than to be a director of the Holy Spirit in her services because of
That's
the
true,
order
Betty.
that you called out.
Right.
And I think that there are going to be other people within your congregation that are going to say, hey, I want that.
Exactly.
I want what Nan has. I want to be able to feel the power. I want to be able to step outside of my comfort zone. I want to be able to step outside the box and say, okay, I'm going to go pray for Nan, or I'm going to go pray for Connie, because there's going to be such a longing. There's going to be such a desire for the Holy Spirit to be so prominent in people's lives that it's almost like me wanting three McDonaldland cookies, you know, chocolate chip cookies.
Don't mention them right now.
It's that longing.
Yeah.
It's that desire. It's almost like anticipation of a birth of a baby, you know?
Ah, yeah.
How it is, how much that birth, you know, how much life that it brings. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings into your services.
Woo! Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place, by Rodney Howard Brown.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou
Praise God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our individual lives, in our bodies of believers that where we meet. Oh, hallelujah. You are welcome. Nan, you got a poem. Read it before we get back to Betty. Woo! I love this.
A couple of songs ago, I had just scanned down our list for the day of songs, and he gave this one to me. Holy Spirit, same thing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome within me.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come inside of me right now. I want the infilling within me of your holy, wonderful power. I want to be used of you to reach out to those around. I want to be able to pray with others who may be feeling sad or down. Holy Spirit, come inside of me. I know you will lead me in what I'm to do. Move within me. Use me. I desire so much to have you.
Oh, that's beautiful. Get that to me, and we're going to put it on the website. That is just beautiful. Betty, talk to us about this whole thing of inviting the Holy Spirit. He's a gentleman. He's not going to step over your will, is he?
No, not at all. In fact, I am controlled by Christ.
Amen.
Because the filling means to be controlled. And if I am controlled, I don't have robotic movements. I don't just do my own thing. I am led, and I am led by one of the most gracious, most powerful things that God has promised us is the power of his Holy Spirit.
Woo! And it is so powerful. I mean, okay, let's go to Acts 4 a minute, and verse 23. As soon as Peter and John were let go, because they had been in jail for laying hands on the lame man in Acts 3, and him being totally, instantly, suddenly
healed. So they had been thrown into jail. You know, that was typical for the early church, being thrown into jail. As soon as Peter and John were let go, they went to their friends and told them what the high priests and religious leaders had said, because the high priest said, don't you ever, ever pray over anybody again in the name of Jesus. Ha! And Peter said, well, if you think whether it's right in God's eyes, I'm up in like verse 19 of Acts 4, to listen to you rather than God, you decide. But as for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. I mean, they're saying, oh, okay, you guys can get out of jail, but don't you dare ever pray for anybody in the name of Jesus. And Peter's going, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. We have got to talk about what we have seen and heard. And we have got to be so full of God, Nan and Betty, that we can't help but talk about what we have seen and heard. I mean, I told you this morning in my sermon about a miracle that I saw, and I saw several when I was 12, 13, on the mission field in Central America. And this one was a powerful one, and I won't go into it right now. I'll tell you some other time. But I had to tell that story, and I've told it so many times through the years. I thought everybody in the congregation had probably heard that before, and you had never heard that?
I had never heard that one.
Okay. And it's amazing what God does, and when he moves sovereignly and heals somebody right on the spot. Mm-hmm. I guess I have to tell it right now.
Well, they really probably need to hear it.
I think I do. I'm feeling it right now. Okay, I was 12 and a half, I believe, and I was in Guatemala. My parents were missionaries, and my Uncle Fred was a Assembly of God pastor in Fort Myers, and a powerful man of God, and he and his wife, my aunt, her name was Delight, Aunt Delight, they came to Guatemala and spent 2 or 3 weeks with my mom and dad and my sisters and I. And during that 2 weeks, I went every night to a different village with my Uncle Fred and some of the Bible students, and we would have church in all these different villages. And my dad was the head of the Bible school. He couldn't get away every night. So I was my Uncle Fred's interpreter for Spanish, and he would preach in English. I would translate in Spanish. I saw demons cast out of people. I saw people fall down under the power of God. I saw people healed on the spot. Crazy things happened. And I'm 12 and a half years old and never seen anything like this in my life, because the mission field, the mission station, we didn't see miracles like that. Okay, this was, Uncle Fred was filled with the Holy Spirit, just like what we're talking about. He was a powerhouse, and he believed that the name of Jesus was all it took. Okay, so one day I'm walking through the Bible school grounds in Chiquimula, Guatemala, and that means little mule. And I'm walking through Chiquimula and going through there with my Uncle Fred, and my dad was in a meeting. And as we're walking through the Bible school grounds, these little kids ran up, and one of them was 5 or 6, and his eyes were totally and completely matted shut with a bad infection. Betty, do you remember this story?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and he had this gunk running out of his eyes. It was running down his cheeks, and he had gnats flying around his eyes, and he couldn't see. He could not. He looked up at us and started asking for money, okay? And my Uncle Fred, this great big old hand he had, was a huge, this guy was a big guy, my Uncle Fred. And he laid his hands on that little boy's head and started praying strongly in tongues and in English. And I was interpreting what was being prayed and standing there beside him wondering what is about to happen. When Uncle Fred, I swear you on my Bibles, and I have two right here. When Uncle Fred took his hands off of that little boy, the gunk was all gone. The gnats were all gone. There was nothing. I said this morning, it must have landed in Uncle Fred's hands, because there was no gunk anywhere, kind of matting and all that junk. It was gone. And this little boy was instantly healed and was looking around like, what happened? And so like Peter and John, I couldn't help not tell that story. I got to
tell the story.
I got to tell what Jesus has done. That's what this is all about, Betty. We get a holy boldness. Mm-hmm. We get a fearless confidence, and we go, I got to tell what happened, what I saw with my own eyes. I got to tell you that Jesus is the healer, that the name of Jesus is above every other name, sickness, disease, eye infection, anything, the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, we can't stop talking about Jesus. We can't do it. That's craziness. Talk to me, Betty, and then Nan.
Well, I think that they they couldn't keep quiet, because that's what happens when you see something of that miraculous multitude.
Right.
Is that the Holy Spirit that lives in us, it's like that commercial. You tell one friend, and then they tell two friends, and then they tell two friends. Those are that's the type of information that we need to be spreading, and not gossiping and
right.
rumoring. But these are the things that we are going to see within the ministries
yes.
where the Holy Spirit is welcome and is moving. And if you would have kept quiet about not telling that story, you probably already blessed someone just by telling that story, because it's the joy in you that wants you to tell that.
Yeah.
It's the energy that comes from the Holy Spirit makes you want to project this and not keep it within, because it might keep someone from hearing what Jesus can do through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Right. Somebody needs to hear this right now. That's why it came up again. Yes,
well,
Nan.
I Betty says something about joy, if I recall correctly, but sharing with people, and we need to have a boldness. You know, I know that for myself, about 3 years ago or 2 years ago, in the range of 2 to 3 years ago, God made several promises to me, several promises. And I started really believing God for, I believe God for those promises. One of them has been fulfilled.
And to the point that you started telling us, this is going to happen. God
yes.
promised it to me.
Yes.
You didn't keep quiet about
no.
that. You were rather vocal. We were teasing you about that at lunch today, that you would say to us, oh, that's okay. I'm going to get that. That's right. going to happen to
Absolutely.
Me. I know that's going to happen. You were vocal about
well,
that.
You know, the thing
putting
is,
God on the spot right
when
there.
When you know that you've heard from God,
right.
and you know that you've heard
yeah.
from God, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he's made
Amen.
Promises to you. You want to share that. And I shared that for many, for a real one reason. Well, to first give glory to God in advance for what he was going to fulfill for me, but also for the congregation to hear me share that
right
before any of it ever began to
yes.
appear.
Yes.
And then that way, and that was taken sort of my boldness saying that, but see,
right.
I knew I'd heard from God.
Right.
I knew beyond a doubt
Woo,
I'd heard from God.
Girl.
And
Hallelujah.
I wanted them to be able to see, for it to stand for example for them, and
yes.
I'm not trying to say, oh, look at me, that's not me at all.
No,
but for them to be able to see very vividly, wow, oh, now Nan tells us that he's fulfilled that promise he made to her. To stand as a witness for many in the congregation who may Woo. Not be of a certain level, say that I was in that situation or in those promises, but to encourage them that they too can believe God for what he's promised them. Because many
yeah.
of them have been promised
Amen.
Things, and they don't necessarily see it yet.
Yeah.
We see by faith, like we've been reading in the Word. We see by faith.
Right.
And that's what we do. And that's what he did, and that's why I did what I did. I shared with you guys
Whoa.
A lot.
Yes, you did. And you would say, remember what God's going to do?
Yep.
Betty, talk to us about this. This is great, isn't it?
You know, it's absolutely amazing to hear Nan talk today.
Isn't it?
Because
she's a wild woman today, I tell you.
She is.
If you could have seen her praying and hear her, and Betty, she was crying. The anointing was all over her. Just a crying and praying.
You know, that shows the Lord how much faith and how much that she trusts him.
Amen.
Because maybe 2 years ago when I first met her, she sat back and let everybody else do the talking. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Now she's in the yellow pages, and this girl is she's doing the walking.
She is
doing the talking because she has enough faith and enough trust in the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, because she let the Holy Spirit use her and be a witness for Christ, because she told them, whoever she was talking to, your congregation or the people in your church, which she's telling 10,000 people now, is that God promised me this. It happened. It will happen for you if you believe and have faith.
Right.
And it's amazing to me how people can sit back on their haunches and not want to do anything for the Lord because, oh, he didn't do that for me. She's just talking that up. No, people, let him work for you. Choose to walk in choose to walk in the light, get out of the darkness, and let the Holy Spirit use you and show you just exactly what he promised Nan he can do for you.
Well, I want to encourage people, right along the lines of what Betty was saying, you know, begin to praise God. Just begin to praise God for it.
And thank him before
you see
it.
And praise him and thank him and thank him and praise him. Because
amen.
You know, I'm telling you, when you know, I'm so excited about it, Pastor.
Man, it's so good to have her awake, you know? Cedric, you know, she's not taking a nap in here today or anything. She's like into it, isn't she?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, isn't it?
Man gets into it.
Yeah.
But praise God, thank God, praise God, thank God.
Yes.
When Satan tries to come against you in doubt.
Right.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you.
Amen.
You know, you must leave and resist those things and trust and believe God and praise and thank God. It will come to pass. What God has promised will come to pass. We can read his word and see where he promised something to someone and it came to pass.
Fearless
confidence, just as it is
there
in the Word.
There it is again.
So it can
fearless
be in our lives.
Confidence. It's in verse 31 of Acts 4 in the Message Bible. While they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. Now, that's kind of radical. Some of you are going, that must have been an earthquake. Well, this is Israel, okay? I don't know. Maybe they have earthquakes. I have no clue. But while they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook, and they were all, my Bible says all, everybody was there participating. And I can tell you today, Nan, everybody was affected by what God was doing today, right?
Everybody.
All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence.
As King James says, boldness. Same thing.
Boldness. Betty, talk to us. Fearless confidence.
Well, that's what we're doing right now, is that we are not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ. That we are going to proclaim it loud and strong.
Amen.
And when you guys were, Nan was talking about praising God, is that that's a form of thanking him.
Yes.
Of giving him glory, of giving him the communication of saying, thank you, God, for giving me your Holy Spirit. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for the trials that I'm going through, because I have to learn to grow, and we grow through our trials, because I've said before, today's trials are tomorrow's testimonies.
Boy, isn't that true.
And we are going to walk in victory. And the boldness, the confidence, the more you pray, the more you praise, the bolder you get. And the more you get into his word, the more you communicate with him, you are going to be a microphone for the Lord in this world today.
You're right. And I want to bring this, before we get this song in, I want to bring us back to this point, Betty, of unity in prayer. That we're on the same page. You and I are prayer partners. We pray together a lot. And we have for how many years now? I don't know. Long time, okay?
Long time.
All right. And, you know, especially like, I'll just bring up my granddaughter. When Rylan was, we were trying to get her from week to week so she would not deliver the twins early. And at 23 weeks, she almost lost them. And I was on the phone with you and with others. And we were praying and we were believing. We were on the same page. We were declaring. And, of course, she did not. And those twins are just absolutely perfect and were delivered at the perfect time. Everything's fine. But it took agreement and prayer. It took declaration. It took finding somebody. Amos 3:3 says, how can two people walk together? How can they be in agreement unless they've come together in agreement? How can you really walk with somebody if you're not in agreement with them? I used to walk around Newcastle's Park there, Betty, in the morning, 3 miles. This was years ago, at 5 a.m., and then sometimes I'd walk with a friend, you know, and we would talk as we walked. But if one person says, oh, go ahead, I'm just can't do it, or I'm tired, you know, then you lose that agreement right there, that communication. You got to be in agreement. And if you've got a prayer partner or a spouse or somebody that says, I can't believe for that, then find yourself somebody who will be in agreement with you. Talk to me, Betty, about that before we go to this song.
Well, I think that's why the prayer ministry
Yes.
Whether it be through Beacon of Hope or whether it be through your congregation, is get on board with the prayer.
Get on board.
Get on board and be a warrior. Get down on your knees and ask God, God, what would you have me do? Some of us within the congregation need to quit being so negative.
Right.
We need to start speaking boldness.
Yes.
Through the power of the Holy, and we call it holy boldness.
Yeah.
Is to have the confidence to say, hey, I'll pray. And when you say you're going to pray, pray, because the prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope prays. And
right.
Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And we've seen a lot of prayer requests, but we've also seen just as many praise reports.
Amen. Because God is moving. And, you know, in Matthew 21, which we didn't get to, but I want to mention before we go to the song, Jesus was hungry. He was human. He was in a human body. He was walking in the fields with the disciples, and he comes upon a fig tree, and he thinks, aha, I've got lunch. And figs, going to eat some figs. And when he gets there, there's no figs on it at all. And all he does was speak to that fig tree and say, you're not ever going to have figs again. And he cursed it, and it dried up. Okay? Now, we've got to be this bold, Betty and Nan, that when the devil is attacking us, we can say, wait a minute, you're not doing that. I'm done with that.
Amen.
I bind you in the name of Jesus. You're going to dry up and get away from me right now. Nan, comment on that.
We need to realize whose we are and
right.
the power that we have.
Woo!
I think sometimes we may allow Satan to attempt to trick us into thinking we don't have the power that we have.
That's right.
You're just imagining this. Oh, this isn't real. Oh, that. No, you have the dunamis power within you.
Yes, you do.
And you can move mountains with that power. That's what the Word of
Amen.
God tells us.
Amen.
It's not by might. It's not by power,
mm-hmm.
but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Woo, Spirit of the Lord by Terry McCallum. Let's listen.
Just bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you in this place, Lord. We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together.
Spirit of the Lord, fall on me.
Set me free.
praise God. Fill me with your glory. Spirit of the Lord, fall on me and set me free. Nan's got another poem that God's given her here in a minute ago. And then, Betty, we're getting back to you in just a second. Go ahead.
It's entitled, Thanks for Infilling Me.
Woo!
And it's interesting, these poems that have been written before songs, not after the song, which is normally during the song. These have all been before songs that they went with.
And these they're hot off the boiler plate now.
Most definitely. Thanks for infilling me. Holy Spirit, I feel so different since I have you living within me. It is such a great feeling. I feel so empowered and oh so free. Lead me and guide me in all that I'm to do. I deeply desire to be used. I am so glad to have you. I know you will give me the boldness in what you lead me to do. Thank you for infilling me. Holy Spirit, I'm in love with you.
Oh, that's great. You got to send me those and we'll put them on our website. Those are beautiful. Oh, Betty, talk to me. I mean, time. Where did the time go? 2 hours. We've just got a few more minutes. So talk to me, Betty.
Oh, I tell you, it's so wonderful to know that we walk in victory.
Amen.
And that we have the opportunity to speak freely about Christ and what he's done for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
In fact, when we speak about Christ, I think it frees us to be who he wants us to be, who we are in Christ, because he lives in us, he dwells in us, and there's no one that I would want walking closer to me than the Lord and the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Because they give us life, they give us hope when there is no hope.
Oh, amen.
And God's grace and his mercy endures forever.
Oh, amen. It does. And for those out there that are hurting right now, Lord, let's pray right now. Lord, we just come before you. You know who is listening live and who will listen later on this website. So, Lord, we just speak a blessing over each one of them. If they do not know you as their personal Savior, let this be the hour when they receive you. Let them make that confession of faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, there are so many out there that know you, but they're discouraged, they're defeated, they're feeling hopeless, they're feeling down, they're feeling like God is not moving in their lives. Lord, please, we ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, let this message today get so down on the inside of them that they will desire to have that fullness of the Holy Spirit, that they will desire to have you fill them to overflowing with power, dunamis, so that they can rise above the circumstances going on in their lives, so that they can experience a newness of life and a strength and a boldness and a determination to be all that you have called them to be. So, Lord, we pray for our listeners. We ask your blessing on them. We ask your guidance in their lives. And we thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Talk to me, Nan.
I think it's been a very powerful show.
It's
hasn't it? I have reaped much from this show and from this day. I was just sitting there thinking about that, from the morning service, from this show. I've reaped a lot today.
Praise
from
God.
From the Lord.
Praise God.
I can really sense that.
Oh,
and I'm just thankful for
gotten
that.
Stronger.
Gotten stronger.
Yes.
Gotten stronger as a result of that.
When we take time and set time aside in our lives to talk about God, to listen to scripture, to listen to songs that motivate us, it's amazing. Betty, talk to me. What's going on in you?
Well, I've been sitting here thinking, I looked in my Jesus is Calling book.
Yeah.
And if you would allow me to read
please,
that.
Please, please.
It says, take time to be still in my presence.
Amen.
The more hassled you feel, the more you need this sacred space of communication with me. Breathe slowly and deeply. Relax in my holy presence while my face shines upon you. This is how you receive my peace, which I always offer to you. Imagine the pain I feel when my children tie themselves up in anxious knots, ignoring my gift of peace. I died a criminal's death to secure this blessing for you. Receive it gratefully. Hide it in your heart. My peace is an inner treasure growing within you as you trust in me. Therefore, circumstances cannot touch it. Be still, enjoying peace in my presence.
Oh. That is beautiful. That's great. From the book Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, devotional. And if you don't have it, you need to go get it. It'll change you. Betty, what did God say to you through that?
To me, is give him just a little bit of time. Give him the opportunity to change the things that are going on in your life.
Right.
You may not be walking the road that he wants you to walk, but he will lead you back on the right path. That I catch myself being anxious over certain things in life. Maybe it just doesn't go my way. But I know that in time, that if I give it to God, he will work it out. That Kairos moment comes when we take the time to settle in, listen to that small, still voice that talks to us, and know that he is God.
Oh, amen. Woo, talk to me, Nan. That's beautiful, Betty. That's exactly right on. That's what we got to do.
Well, I guess as a closing thought, what I wanted to say is, like, to directly speak to the people, and I know it's for more than one person, but to let them know that what the Holy Spirit does for you, does for Betty, does for me, he will also do for whoever's listening.
Right.
You know, God is not a respecter of persons.
Good point.
You know, and, you know, some people might say, well, yeah, but she's a pastor of a church, so God's going to do that for her. Or look at Betty. Look how long she's served God and how close a relationship she has with him. Oh, yeah. You know, and, I mean, look at Nan. She's kind of does some things periodically, you know, you know, in charge of things or doing things. You know, of course God's going to do it for them. No. He will do it for everybody.
Exactly.
And wherever we are,
right,
whatever statue we are in the Lord,
yes,
whatever we're doing or not doing, or wherever we are, he will do what he's done for us. He will
right.
do in others. They just have to accept that gift
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit. Just ask
Woo.
For it and accept that gift.
And
of the Holy
want
Spirit.
That. Want God
Absolutely.
To move in their lives. You know, I think so often we've got to repent of our desire of always trying to get everything to work our way. Mm-hmm. And we've got Amen. To really say, Lord, I decide today, I put a stake in the ground. I want you to lead me and guide me. I want to be full of your Holy Spirit. If that is your prayer right now, pray that prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you fill our listeners, those that desire it, those that want it today, with the power of your Holy Spirit, come all over them, baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Let them feel your fresh touch in their lives and let them know that you love them intensely, that you died for them, that you care about everything that concerns them, and that you have a plan for their life. Lord, let this be the day where they cry out to you and ask you to fill them to overflowing. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
Oh, amen.
I want to encourage people to write in on the email. I don't think I've ever done this before. I feel very strongly that people are having questions. They've listened to 2 hours of this, and they still don't necessarily have all the answers, don't really understand. It seems, you know, they just have more questions. Write in, guys.
Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com
And you will give them in. You give me answers.
Right.
I have email with you stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Text you or call you, and you always respond to me. You respond to them. And I feel
Amen.
There's people that need to do that. And the leadership of our church, you know, is certainly here for them, too.
Amen. And with that said, if you have a prayer request, send them to prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. Prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. You can write me personally, pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. Cedric, we're going back to track six. We're gonna finish out the show with that. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, visit us Sunday morning at 10:30 in our new location. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, to get directions. Wednesday night at 7 for a powerful, interactive Bible study. Betty, thank you. You're a joy. Nan, you're just a trooper, both of you. I love you both. Wonderful being in the ministry with you both. God bless you. Have a great week. This has been Pastor Marcia, Betty, and Nan speaking the word of the Lord to you this day. Spirit of the Lord, come and fall on us this moment.
We welcome the new thing that we've never known before. We welcome the river of God to flow mightily through the streets of our cities, God. Hallelujah. Let it happen, God. Let it happen in us, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's open our hearts as we sing together.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.